Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
One all going into the dying seconds, the host win a corner. Do I really need to tell you what happened next? Welcome to Charlton Live. Yeah. You know what happened next, don't you? We conceded and we lost at Millwall, because that's what we do every bloody time. Right, good evening. Welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we get ready to look back at yesterday's traditional defeat at the New Den. On my right-hand side, I've got Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah, you are. I mean, that is...
What more do you want?
Yeah, that is part one of getting over it, is admitting it's happened and then coming together as a group to talk about it.
Turning up.
Turning up.
That's about as much as you're going to get.
Yeah, we did not turn up in the 92nd minute yesterday, did we? Mm. Right, also joining us here at the Valley, Nathan. I mean, I imagine you're probably a bit happier than the rest of us.
Well, it's a bit, I just think he's can't change it now, but I'm sort of over it already.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not remotely...
No. Oh, no, don't get me... I am peeved. that was so close.
Yeah.
I'm a bit peeved, obviously, but you can't really
do
much
about it.
About
half seven last night.
Yeah,
that annoyed me.
Yeah, well, I had a load of beers and I had some spice rum as well, and a cheeky little tequila.
I'm glad you had rum today. I thought you just said I had some spice. you were in Berman's heat, but there we go.
Saw something else after. Rum to rum.
So yeah, on tonight's show we'll be looking back at that defeat over at Millwall. We'll hear the highlights briefly. We'll also hear from Addicts boss Lee Bayer what he made of the game yesterday over at the New Den. Of course, we want to know what you made of it as well. You can air your frustrations as our winless run against Millwall extends to forever still. Email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. Have your say on yesterday's performance. Let us know who stood out for you, good or bad. Whatever you want to say, get in contact with the show. Try and work out why our record there is so bad. Why does it always fail? The worst thing about yesterday was that's probably the best I've seen us play there. And still, we weren't great. We weren't awful, but we weren't great. We had some time on the ball, but then we just fell asleep. And we'll hear that in the highlights shortly. But Naby. What are you doing, mate?
Yeah. Why do I have to start? We all said it on Thursday that we wouldn't start him. Pretty much everyone said that. And then he gets picked and you think, okay, fair enough. Then, what was it, 10 minutes in? Was it even 10 minutes and we're behind?
It was 6 minutes.
And then it was Naby's fault. And you go, okay, fair enough, he's got time to grow into the game. And then at half time, obviously I was there with Nath and we said you'd hook him at half time because, again, it's just not his game. Keeps him on. Get through that second half. And then I was just saying to you off air then, when the ball goes out for that corner, the whole stand, literally the whole stand knew we'd lost that game. The minute it went out for a corner, everyone knew. You could see all the players as well go, I can't believe we've got to defend a corner now. It was like we all knew what was going to happen. It happened. But when you're that, 6'5", and you're a strong, powerful defender, you can't be being beaten twice in the same game against your biggest rivals. It was just, I was just fuming. Absolutely fuming. I'm still not, I know Nath says he's over it, I'm still not over it. It's just, like you said, because I think that was our best chance in a long time. And for large parts of that second half, once we got that goal, I thought, well, we can go on and win this game. And we just didn't do enough.
I mean, people talk about desire. I mean, you know, all of these things you discuss when it comes to derby games. But, I mean, that defending from that corner was inexcusable. Inexcusable.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and I know we were saying, like Tom said, we were saying at half-time, maybe hook him off. Not tug him off, but just hook him off. But, yeah, but then the only reason I could think he stayed, because they know Matt Smith was going to come on, but that made no bloody difference anyway, did it?
Yeah, but I mean, you know Matt Smith's coming on. Yeah. So, you must know who is going to be marking Matt Smith. That is not, I mean, no matter what's happened during the week, and I guarantee this would have been said, I'm not saying it wasn't said, it would have been said during the week, if Matt Smith comes on, pick him up. Mm. You're picking him up, make sure you pick him up. They would have known. They would have known, and in the last minute, I mean, Boye was fuming. And now he doesn't name names in press conferences because he doesn't. But in the press conference yesterday, he said that their players seem to want to score more than our players seem to want to defend. And that's not acceptable.
Yeah, I know. That second goal especially, it was like, Smith, we said on Thursday, the stats are stacked in his favour. But you've still got to be stronger. So you still got to try.
We put him off.
At least just make him, even if he does jump, just let him jump into you. Because we won a couple of free kicks like that on other set pieces. But it was just too easy. And but like Tom said, as soon as that corner was given, we knew what was happening. And I think that's probably why I'm a little bit over it, because I sort of expected it after the 85th minute. But but like you said, I think the disappointing thing, the first 30 minutes, we thought we weren't brave enough on the ball. We didn't get on the ball enough. And then obviously, I think the second half, we were by far the better team. But like I said yesterday, like being better, you know, in possession and play doesn't win you games. And they won two set pieces, and that's what they're good at, which, we all said on Thursday. And we just didn't do it. We didn't defend properly enough. And you can't, if you defend like that at set pieces, you don't deserve to win football matches at this level.
Yeah, right. Let's have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game. Your commentators over on Valley Pass were, of course, Mr. Greg Stubley and Mr. Terry Smith.
Good, the space to move into. Lecco trying to make it back there. Ball across is Lockyer. Intercepts it. Skied off his foot. It's punched away by Phillips. It's in the six-yard box. Blocked away from the shot from Wallace. Home fans screaming for Penball. I think it was Pierce or... I can't see if it was Pierce or Lockyer in the way. But Millwall with the first real chance.
Yeah, it's a glorious opportunity. I think it hit the shoulder of Lockyer. It's hard to tell, but the ball in was good.
When it comes into the edge of the six-yard box. A free header. And Millwall are 1-0 up.
Charlby's soak over there, defending it. The defending was awful. It's just a simple little cross, and it's a free header. I think it was Sean Williams in the end who got it.
Williams, Hutchinson, myself.
Or Hutchinson, one of the two. Might have been Williams who took it, I think it was. And who's left their man, I can't see on the replay at first glance, but it's a simple header. And that's not the start Charlton were looking for.
After 5 minutes, Charlton, who have been susceptible to free kicks, and 1-0 down, is in front of him. Touches it past Prattley, but Prattley makes it back. But he's left him alone, back to Budvarsson, back across. Saar with the clearance away, but it's run all the way through to Romeo. Might have a shot, it does! And turned left and away for a corner by Dylan Phillips.
Yeah, Mill have been excellent, it has to be said. Charlton have really struggled to hold the ball. The pressure's been...
To the left-hand edge of the penalty area, into the corner. Back out to Lecco, chip ball across, Bond's there, and it's a header that he meets. And was that a touch by the keeper? Well, not according to the officials, and Bond's incensed with that. He thought the keeper had saved that.
Well, it's taken 20 minutes, but that's the first opportunity to
try.
It's a deflector and off of Malumbi. Comes out to Lecco. Lecco, couple of step overs, onto his right foot. Ball was good to Cullen. Cullen shooting chance. Cullen goes for it. Saved by Barkowski. Ball is in, is it? No! How's Barkowski kept it out? Goal line technology says no. Barkowski punched it up in the air. The Mill will get it. Cullen drills it towards the far post. Pierce is under it, is he? No, Mill just headed away. And as far as Parrington, ball back in. Pierce with a little flick forward. Mill headed up in the air. Comes down to bottom of the shot. Oh, what a save! An unbelievable save by Barkowski. Denies Macaulay Bond, who caught it so well. And fair play to the Mill goalkeeper. That is outstanding.
What a hit from Macaulay Bond. That looked like it had goal written all over it. It was heading towards the top right-hand corner. Left as we look, but Barkowski reflex. Save, tips
it in towards the back post. Sarr's gone down, no penalty given, and Mill clear it away. And there is the half time whistle.
Driving with the ball for Chelton, short to Lecco. Lecco can turn, he's got Matthews on the overlap. Ball to Matthews is a good one. Matthews crossing opportunity, ball into the box, comes away. Prattley with a shot,
save by Barkowski. The contact from Prattley was probably not what he wanted.
No.
The ball just came down off the turf, but Darren Prattley nearly equalised.
Starting and finished that move, Darren Prattley. Some superb football from him. Great football from Charlton down the right. Matthews with the overlap. Great ball in. Picks out Darren Prattley. Maybe just behind him. And he had to hold his or just balk his run. So he didn't catch it fully. Hit it into the ground. I suppose comfortable in the end for Barkowski.
Charlton with the corner. Josh Cullen to take. Hands up in the air, swings it in. Now Sarr trying to get there, headed down. Prattley flicks it back in. Sarr to his left. Lecco with a chance. Deflection, is it?
Come on.
Charlton have equalised. It's Jonathan Lecco who's going to claim it. And Charlton have the level.
Well, we look dangerous from the corner. Ball coming into the box. Sarr was there and he looked, not on his own, but he didn't look like he was challenged. And there was a couple of bit of headed tennis. And the ball dropped Lecco on the left-hand side of the six-yard box. Made no mistake.
You have to say, Charlton probably do deserve that as well. They've started the second half like they finished the first. Wallace swings it in towards near post, flicks away, comes across the top of the shot.
Oh, Dylan Phillips on the side.
Dylan Phillips diving to his left, and Charlton cleared away with Bond. But towards Lecco, just flicks it on. But
what a save from Dylan Phillips.
Number one.
That goal written all over it. Throw into Millwall as we hit the 90-minute mark. We have 3 minutes of added time. Charlton with everybody in and around the penalty box. On the Charlton right hand side, swung in, it's a deep one, far side of six shot. Now Sarr's got to get him and he doesn't, and Matt Smith has scored.
I said there's one more corner Charlton had to deal with, and they didn't. They just didn't. It's a deep ball from Wallace. It's not much power on it. And Sarr's going to be very disappointed.
He didn't attack the ball, Naby Sarr. He just let it drop to his head. And Smith got there first.
And you can't let Smith dive in like that. You just can't. It's heartbreak for Charlton, who have fought really hard. And they don't deserve this. They really don't. It was petering out to a draw, which would have been the right result. And it's two set pieces that have cost them.
Heartbreak indeed for Charlton. But how many times have we been to this place and not got what we deserved? Turns it into Dylan Phillips. And only be seconds remaining. Phillips goes long, and that's the final whistle. Quite incredible.
It makes you sick, doesn't it, hearing it back? I think Terry summed it up quite nicely by just saying bloody nothing when that goal went in. You know, it's just silence, because that's what you're feeling. You know, we've been through this so many times before now. You know what to expect when you go to Millwall, but it was one of those ones where it was just a crap game. It looks like it was going to peter out into a nothing draw. And then we fall asleep, absolutely fall asleep. And it's a player who has, you know, worked so hard to build up his reputation at the club after a torrid couple of years when he first came here, and he's done that. But he's let himself down massively yesterday. He's not the only one, for sure. And also, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't a dreadful performance, but it's just stupid errors like that. And I mean, Naby's going to be so disappointed with himself, because you can't defend like that in the last minute at Millwall.
Yeah, I don't want to come over all Russell Slade, but just felt sick at the end of that game, like completely. And I do want to blame Naby for both goals, because absolutely we should. But also, as I said to you just before we came on air, Naby can perform at this level and has shown that in some games. And there are games that suit him and there are games that aren't. Now, if you're a defender at this level, you could argue maybe you need to be able to play in any sort of game, whatever the style. I don't think Naby can. And I think that's been proven in some of the games we've had. I think there are games this season that he's played brilliantly in. And he has won fans over. But you go up against your bitterest rivals that you haven't beaten for that amount of time. Firstly, we all said it's not a game for Naby. But, you know, he's in the side then. And he's been picked and Boya has chosen him. And then he goes and makes two mistakes like that. And I completely appreciate why everybody's jumped on his back, because Matt Smith did. Yeah. because of those two mistakes. And I'm not here to defend him, because yesterday was an inexcusable performance from him. I almost feel, why did we put him in that situation in the first place? Because we know that's not his sort of game. But once he's in there, he then has to step up and he has to perform, and he didn't do that. And look, I'm sure he's as disappointed as anyone when he goes off that pitch, because he's going to know. Whatever Boya says about players have to take a look at themselves, he knows exactly who he's talking about. And I'm sure he was told in the dressing room in no uncertain terms. But it's just so disappointing, because we went into that game with our best chance in a while. We performed after that first half hour. I agree with Nath. That first half hour, they blew us away, and we couldn't, just didn't seem up for the fight. But then we did grow into the game. We did start to play our football, got ourselves level, maybe fortuitously. But then we just didn't test them. And it all dropped off again. And then you go into that, like we've all said, you go into that last minute, and you just knew what was going to happen. And Naby's the man at fault. And he's got to take responsibility for that. He's got to hold his hands up. And I start to wonder how he recovers from this, because we already know his confidence is fragile. Boya said it. You know, when you sing his name, it makes such a difference to him. And on the plus side, that's obviously a good thing. But on the negative side, you've seen how fans have reacted to what happened yesterday on social media and everything. It's going to be hard for him to come back from that, I think. And that's a worry.
Mm. I mean, you try and analyse that goal, and if you watch, you know, I've seen a video from behind the goal. You know, what just even if you just watch it on the Sky Sports app, you can see that first of all, Naby starts to make a run to track a different defender, and then all of a sudden realises that actually he's got the wrong man. He starts to step back, but I can't understand what then goes through his mind as to make him not jump for that ball. The only thing I can think is he's trying to buy the free kick. He's trying to make it look like Matt Smith has jumped all over him. But, I mean, and there were a couple of people from behind the stand, and I saw on the forum after the game, while they were still sat in that stand, thinking, I thought maybe he was jumped all over, because I think that's what Naby's tried to do there. But that's a risk. You simply can't take that inside your own six-yard box in the 91st minute, anywhere. It doesn't matter who you're playing, but let alone against your greatest rivals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're in the last minute of a game, you just got to try and put him off his stride. But he's got a run on you. So, like I say, even if you jump and if you don't think you're going to make contact with the ball, at least jump. So, if he does come through, like you say, he might buy a free kick. But, I mean, apart from Naby, I mean, probably Piercy was probably the only one that should have marked Matt Smith, because we haven't exactly got a massive team. So, out of them two, but Piercy, I don't know, Piercy was marking. So, in terms of height, I can understand why Naby was placed on him. But at the same time, I don't think Bose would have said, yeah, you mark him. But if he, when there's a corner, just try and let the ball hit your head. Don't jump. You know, it's just an individual error. I can't even say it's concentration, because it's not like he's lost his man. He's just his decision was not to jump, which was just weird as a defender.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the first goal. I mean, he did lose his man there. And again, there was, I think it was Prattley and Prattley and Saar at that far side. There was two men there, two defenders. And in between them, you know, Prattley's made the run towards the far post, and Saar's just got the wrong side of Hutchinson at the near post. You know, we've already had a shot cleared off the line by this point as well. So, you know, we're under the cosh at the start. I mean, that's how Millwall are going to come out at you at home. Millwall's home record is very good. They're going to come out, they're going to try and and force the issue, you know, especially considering the type of game it was in terms of a local derby. You don't make mistakes like that. And that's the most frustrating thing is, I mean, if we hadn't fallen asleep at two set pieces, we would have been coming away, admittedly, a very scrappy, but a 1-0 win. And that's, you know, look at Wigan away a couple of weeks ago. We could have come away with a 0-0 draw, but we lost 2-0 because we fell asleep at set pieces. And that's something that we didn't see often last season. We've seen it too much now this year, I think, because those aren't the only four goals we've conceded from set pieces this season as well.
Yeah, it's happened a lot. And I think we spoke on Thursday and said, particularly at Millwall, this stuff just happens. But it's not just Millwall this year. It's happened all over the place. And you're right, I think we just looked shell-shocked at the start. And we spoke on Thursday about the fact that this is more than just your normal game, and the build-up is different, and the feeling around the camp is different because it's such a big game for us, particularly with the run we've been on against Millwall. So you go in there and you're looking for a team to go in there and handle that atmosphere from the first whistle, because you have to, because you know they're going to be on you. You know they're going to hit you quickly at the start, because they think if they can get a goal, they will silence that loud away end. And that's exactly what happened. And Boya knows that as well. So again, I'm not going to say that Boya is at fault in terms of that setup. I think there is an issue with naming Sarr, which we'll come back to. But he's going to have told them what it's going to be like. They're going to know what it's going to be like. Some of them, even people like Cullen, you know, they've played there in big games. They know what that atmosphere is like. But they just completely couldn't handle it. And I don't know if you can crumble from nothing at the first whistle, but we almost were crumbling from the very start. And that goal was coming. Like you say, they had a shot cleared off the line. It felt like that goal was coming from the moment they kicked off. And it was just a case of, right, let them get that one goal. And then can we start to regroup and start again? And it shouldn't have to be like that, because on paper, we all said it on Thursday, on paper, we're the better side. And on paper, we should have gone into that game as favourites, and we should have started that game on the front foot. And yes, you're going to have to soak up a bit of pressure against Millwall at home because of the good record they've got and because of the nature of the game. But the talent in that squad were far, far greater than theirs and enough to win that game. And they just couldn't do it. Again, it's a mentality thing. And you could see it from the very first whistle.
Mm. I mean, I'd like to say that opening 20 minutes in particular, I thought it summed up quite nicely when Adam Matthews went to take that throw in and the ball slipped out of his hands. And the foul throw was given on the far side, right in front of the Dockers stand, you know. And at that point, you're thinking, right, this is a proper Charlton capitulation at Millwall, as per usual. Mm. Sure, we recovered from that, and we played better, you know, for probably a large spell over the sort of the centre part of that game before and after half time. But I mean, that first 20 minutes was quite scary to watch.
Yeah, it was, because we weren't brave enough. We weren't getting on the ball. And you can see from the second half that once we settled down a bit and got on the ball, they couldn't get near us. They couldn't come anywhere near us when we were knocking it about. But and not only that, we were going direct, so we're playing it to Blimmin, playing it up to McCauley, who's got Jake Cooper, who's about 9'2", and Sean Hutchinson. They were just eating any balls that were coming up. They're just cleaning them up all day long. But so, I mean, Lecco was disappointing, because I think Lecco starting, it made sense when it came out. I was a bit like, because we said on Thursday, like, we had no one to change a game, which was evident. But starting Lecco, because the only way you're going to get behind him is down the sides, which using his pace. But there was a couple of times he was put through and he was just, looked like he didn't want to be there, or he just didn't really show much, like, enthusiasm, and that was quite disappointing. But yeah, I think for the first 20 minutes, I just think, like Tom said, it was a mentality issue. They couldn't really handle the early pressure from them. Then we weren't brave enough on the ball, and then it just went from bad to worse. And then I can't remember what the turning point was, but then it sort of kicked their bums in gear, sort of thing.
Mm. Well, it seems to be. I just wonder if that was the way that Millwood planned it. You know, really go hell for leather in the first 20 minutes or so, and then you can't do that for 90 minutes. Most clubs, no team can really do that for 90 minutes, and it just felt like they just sat off a little bit, and that's when Charlton started to move the ball around. This is where I'm talking about, where I say this is probably the best I've actually seen us play at Millwall, because once that ferocity at the start of the game sort of tailed off, then we started to control possession. It took us a while to start creating chances, but we were enjoying the ball. You know, Cullen and Gallagher in the midfield passing it around. We saw a lot of the ball being moved around between the players in the back five, just trying to find openings. We saw Matthews trying to get forward at times. You say Lecco a couple of times in that first period was away down the right-hand side, then even made the wrong decision or dilly-dallied before getting the cross in, which was quite frustrating. I thought Macaulay Bond was quite quiet in the first period until we had that great chance right at the end of the first half as well. So that's when we started to see, right, you know, we sort of weathered that early storm, and that's where we're starting to get back into the game and actually show, you know, that that bit where we looked afraid at the start, that seemed to fade away. And that's where you're thinking, right, okay, this game's not over just yet.
Yeah, I thought half-time came at the wrong time for us because I thought we'd started to build momentum by then. And I mentioned on Twitter at half-time that I thought Cullen and Gallagher were our best players. And I pointed those two out in particular because they're low knees. But actually, and someone pointed it out and said, what about Prattley as well? And all three of them, I thought, in that, certainly the last 20 minutes of that first half, I thought all three of them were brilliant. And it's no coincidence that those three were our midfield three, which to me tells me that we were growing into that game because our midfield three were then starting to run the show, starting to get on the ball, starting to actually win tackles, put themselves about, and then start to drive forwards with the ball. And the problem, as you said there, the problem was that in front of them, we just had nothing. Bon again seemed a little bit too isolated. Lecco, every time he got the ball, I thought he was poor yesterday, but every time he got the ball, when he did get it, he seemed to make a mistake. And I think too often he didn't get it because he just wasn't in the right position or he wasn't making the right runs. But Cullen, Gallagher and Prattley should all be singled out for praise, I suppose, because in that, certainly the latter half of that first half and the early parts of the second half, they were our best players. And in that midfield, we were starting to control the ball, starting to control possession. And as you say, I thought, right, then we might actually start to get somewhere. We saw Bond's volley right towards the end of that first half. I think, was it him that created another chance as well? And I thought, right, here we go, here we go. And then the half-time whistle comes and I was a bit frustrated because I thought, right, how's that going to work against our momentum? But then we go in at half-time, come back out, and actually we picked up where we left off and we continued to play that basically our football, and we started to show them that we were the better side and we just couldn't keep it up, basically. And we still looked a little bit shaky at the back. And I mean, we'll come on to the goal and the other chances, but as we've all said, apart from that goal, how many times did we test the keeper in that second half? And that was the problem. Our midfield largely controlled the latter part or middle part of that game, but it didn't lead to anything. And that's the problem. And that's been the problem for a little while now. And it's not just the fact that Lyle Taylor's out, because Macaulay Bon has come in and done well, but with Johnny Williams out of the side in particular, and maybe Osthuma not playing yesterday as well, they're just, that link up between that midfield and the attack at the moment is a bit of a problem.
Before we equalise, in the first half, we did have that one chance that perhaps typified, well, two chances really, that typified a Charlton performance again at Millwall, is that we don't get the luck as well. So, I mean, that shot from Cullen that Bielkowski somehow tipped onto the bar, and then you see, I mean, from where we were in the press box, it was hard to see. At first, I thought that looked like it may have crossed on its way down. He's done just about enough to palm it away, and then it's even worse when you see the goal line technology shot on Quest yesterday evening, and you can see that the ball was 7/8 over the line. It was just the final bit of curvature of the ball that hadn't gone over. And then, of course, that volley from Macaulay Bond just before half-time. And the save, looking back, it's hard to tell if it even hits the keeper in the head rather than the palms, because whatever it was a great save to push it over the bar, a brave save. And by the sounds of it, he's had a good season for Millwall, that goalkeeper. But it just summed up, like, you know, how our luck tends to go even when we do start to turn it on in this fixture.
No, exactly. And even to go back to, like you said, Matthews. Like, I mean, I can't remember the last time I've seen a foul throw given in a professional game. And then obviously the Cullen shot. But then, like Tom was saying, it come at the wrong time because we were probably in the ascendancy. But it's like we done better and we was growing into the game. But it just seemed like yesterday everything that could go wrong did. All we just needed was an ascending off, really. Would have been perfect, really, wouldn't it? Everything going wrong. But yeah, I'm trying not to, it's hard because obviously I am sort of over it. I just try not to dwell on it now because it's like you can't change it. It's just so frustrating because I honestly thought on Thursday we were mentally in the best place we could have ever been. And like you said, it's the best I've ever seen us play there by a country mile. So yeah, we just have to wait till next year. Lovely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might have to move all flu next year. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I might try and get a piece of that as well. I mean, so we got that goal back just after half time. You know, arguably it had been coming. We'd already seen that great move down the right hand side from Matthews, pulled it back for Pratters, and as good. Prattley didn't quite catch that right, but I thought Prattley had a decent game yesterday, and the save came. And you know, you look at the goal actually for what was quite a scrappy goal, it was reasonably well worked actually. And Naby did play a big part in that. The nod down to Lecco that he shot. If you're looking back at that shot from Lecco, I think it's actually going wide. I think it's an own goal off Marlon Romeo. But here you go. Like, this is when you're thinking, right, here we go, Tom. Now let's go and push on and get that second. But yeah, we enjoyed the ball, perhaps, but did we really? Like, I haven't. I went through the highlights. I went through tweets. I couldn't find a single other shot for Charlton to put into the highlights. There was one cross when Lapsley came on with, what, 5 minutes left. There was a cross that went near him, and that's the best we had. So the frustration of, you know, enjoying possession of the ball but not creating something, as you said, that was there yesterday.
Yeah, I don't remember anything else. And the goal, as I say, came as a culmination of us building from about 25 minutes into the game onwards, all the way through to half time, where, as I say, I thought we were on the ascendancy. We go into half time, we come out, we picked up from where we left off, continued to play well, get that goal, and it was almost like that was the peak, and they'd gone, right, we've achieved what we needed to achieve. Because then I don't know whether we backed off or Millwall stepped up and went, nah, not on our patch, you don't, but the game seemed to swing in that moment, and I don't understand why. Because for me, you get that goal and you think, right, everything that we undid in the first 6 minutes, we've taken an hour-ish to get it back even, but now we're back even, and now we've reset, we've righted that wrong, and now we go on and we show them what we're all about, because we're the better team and we should go on to win this game. But we didn't. We scored that goal, and it was almost like they were like, well, I can't believe we've actually managed to do that. Let's relax now. We've got what we were supposed to do. Because then, as you say, yes, I think our midfield still had a lot of the ball. I don't know what the possession stats were from the goal till the end of the game. I think they were probably slightly in our favour. But a lot of the game was played in either the middle of the pitch or in our half of the pitch, with our back four just knocking it around, and we just didn't test them. Didn't test them at all. And I mean, you said you scrolled through the highlights and that. Off the top of my head, I couldn't think of a chance. I'm not surprised there wasn't one. And it just, the longer it went on at 1-1, as I say, I think we all knew that there was going to be something happening. It was just a case of when. And I mean, it's sickening to come as late as it did. But until we got that second goal, it was just always there. It was always there, because that's what happens when you go to Millwall as a Charlton fan. And it was just so disappointing that we finally got ourselves back level. And for me, that was neutral. That was where we should have been from the start of the game, because it was a sloppy goal to give away. And we just didn't capitalise on it at all. And it partly maybe because we couldn't bring the right sort of people off the bench, because we haven't really got anyone. I was disappointed Osthuma didn't come on. I know Nath will think the same, because we said that yesterday, but we just didn't really go for the kill when really we had the opportunity to.
It's funny, funny enough, I didn't see Osthuma coming on, because I just didn't think he'd be able to affect that game, just with the way that we were getting out muscled perhaps in the forward line. Maybe he would have found that middle that ground, that gap, and maybe made something happen. Maybe
turning
I was
and
wrong
running,
there.
That's what we needed.
Yeah, I just for a physical game, I personally didn't see him coming into that. So, I mean, that was, you know, 15 minutes after we scored, where perhaps we had enjoyed a bit of possession. There was a sub, Prattley, booked now in the first half. He's going to be out of the game against Cardiff, his fifth yellow card of the season. I don't know if that was in Boyer's mind when he decided to take him off, because Kyle came on, didn't really affect the game in the way that I imagine Boyer would have wanted him to.
Yeah, I mean, when he first came, I think he'd done a couple of straight passes, didn't he? And then he seemed to go into the game. I think he made a good challenge and done some good passes. But possibly, yeah, probably he's going to be a miss. But I think once Kyle gets some games under his belt, I think he'll start picking it up a little bit, and I think he might be cementing that place a little bit more. I would, by the latter part of the season, I would imagine, if he stays fit, obviously. But yeah, Prattley had a good game again, and I just think his experience probably helps the younger lot. And hope maybe it was in where was the turning point in the first half where we started turning it around. But it's going to be a big miss against Cardiff. But he'll have to have 3 weeks off now, won't he? Is it what? No, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Well,
off
so we've
now,
got 2 weeks off, and then he's going to miss the Cardiff
and then
game.
The actual game.
Yeah.
So. But that's what you're going to get with Pratt, isn't it? He's going to be combative and he's going to pick up those yellows. But you can't really.
But I just felt we missed him when he went off. That was the main thing. I feel like our performance tailed off. You think that's fair?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I know I was a bit of a critic of Prattley when he first came into the side. He completely won me over towards the back end of last season. I hold my hands up and say this season he's been one of our better players. I do wonder whether a Charlton side that's as good as we are should be missing someone like Prattley as much as we will. And that's absolutely no disrespect to him, but he's an ageing player. To have him come out of the side, should that make such a big effect as it did? Because I agree, Kyle came on and just he misplaced two passes straight away. Just never really grew into the game. I know it's a hostile atmosphere. I know it's a difficult game to come into, but Boyer said it to us, didn't he, after Preston last week, that his substitutions didn't really have the effect that he wanted. And I know we're missing Johnny Williams and Lyle Taylor, who stats-wise are probably some of our better players, but we need to be having players that make more of an impact. And someone like Anike is obviously well-built and physical player. I know he was injured yesterday, but even if he'd have come on, it just had that feeling yesterday that no one was going to come on and change that game for the better. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I think Prattley's been up there in terms of performances this season and one of the first names on the team sheet for me. And I have no problem with that in terms of what he does. But I just think, is that what this Charlton team are about? Is that really looking to the future? We need some of those younger players to start taking a bit more responsibility. And I'm not calling out the loanees here, funnily enough, because like I said, Cullen and Gallagher were some of our better players. But people like Lapsley, people like Berham, you know, they need to start playing their way into this side, because at the moment Prattley's keeping them all out, and rightly so.
Yeah, in terms of chances, you know, in between the Charlton goal and the Millwall winning goal, I mean, like I say, I don't think there was anything for Charlton really. The only real chance there was perhaps that corner that fell to Ben Thompson, and it's a good save from Dylan Phillips. He made the save, but again, it was another set piece where we didn't deal with it. But until then, it just felt like it was gonna fizzle out into that draw, and then of course Millwall go on and take the 3 points late on, much to the frustration of the Charlton fans. We'll talk about what happened after the game as well. Not that Nathan knows, because he somehow managed to get out early, but we'll talk about that later as well, because it didn't sound like that was particularly well handled either. Right, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer in a few seconds' time. Don't forget, we want to hear from you guys as well. You can have your say on this evening's show. If you disagreed with anything we've said so far, let us know. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on this evening's show. Right, I spoke to the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, in the tunnel after yesterday's game, and the Addicts manager said he felt that his side did enough to get something out of the contest.
I thought we played well. To be leaving with nothing, I don't think it is a fair result. I thought we was better than them. Obviously conceding early on from a set piece gives them a lift up, but I thought for the rest of the first half, I thought we was the better side. We created a lot of good chances. Keeper made some unbelievable saves. Second half, I thought that again we started well. Again, dominated. And I thought once we scored, then that's it, we're going to go on and win the game. But we stopped doing what got us on top, and that was passing for some reason. So that's so disappointing to concede that late on, and the manner that we conceded, it's just, it drives me mad, you know, like, so frustrating. It's just not good enough. You have to see out games, and you have to make sure that your man doesn't score. It's very simple. Make sure your man doesn't score. So mentally, physically, we have to be better.
And the frustration you saw a couple of weeks ago at Wigan as well, when, you know, perhaps a fairly even game and you get outdone by two set pieces. So is that something you're going to have to be drumming into them over the next couple of weeks?
No, because they know. Like we told them all week that this is their strength. Millwall, this is a strength of theirs. Yeah, they've got some good players, but they're strong at set pieces. So we can't tell them no more. We can't do no more than what we're actually doing. They all know their jobs, they're inside out. Like this, it is simple. Just make sure your man doesn't score. And unfortunately, that didn't happen today. So we have to improve at that. We have to get better at that.
So Charlton's hoodoo here at Millwall is well known and well talked about. And perhaps at times in the past you've seen Charlton teams that look scared to go and play the football around today, but that didn't seem to be the case today. They seem to enjoy a fair bit of possession.
Like I said, I thought we was the better side. I think some of the football we played was very good. We took the sting out of the atmosphere, I felt. Obviously it's an intimidating place to come and play, and I thought we handled it really, really, really well. So I believe we should have won the game, but the game's about taking your chances and putting the ball in the back of the net, and they've done it twice and we only managed to do it once, and we end up leaving with nothing. I would have been disappointed with a draw. When it was 1-0, I was like, right, here we go, like, we'll go and win this. But to come away with nothing, it's not good enough.
I guess it must hurt that little bit extra, of course, because of the rivalry between the two clubs. So you're going to have to pick your players up again after the international break when it comes to Cardiff.
Yeah, and some of them need to look at themselves, you know. They need to have a look at themselves. I've just told them that can't be conceding the way we've just done there, and losing the game. So they'll have a couple of days now to reflect and look back at what's just happened today.
Of course, when you come back from the international break, you're hoping there may be more bodies available. Of course, Prattley won't be able to play after picking up his fifth yellow card, so it's another one now you can't use against Cardiff.
Yeah, hopefully Lyle might be in and around, might be on the bench, be able to be on the bench. We'll have to see how he goes, but he's just started running again outside, so hopefully we don't have no more setbacks with him. And we need some attacking players, really, because today we only had Otsuma on the bench, who's the only attack-minded player that we had on the bench. So yeah, hopefully we can start getting some of them more attacking players back.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers the header. And it's Jones.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. A miserable show, unfortunately, because we were beaten by Millwall at the Den in the last minute yesterday. And Matt Smith header after Naby Sarr was beaten in the air. Obviously, we heard there Boya Naif saying that some players need to take a long, hard look at themselves. And I mean, you know who he's talking about there. He's, like I say, he's not going to name names, but anyone with a face and eyes can see that it was Naby Sarr who's lost their man there. How does Naby react to this, I guess, is the main worry now?
Well, he's a professional footballer. He needs to take it on the chin, take the criticism and make himself better and make sure it don't happen again. That's all you can do. You can sit there and sulk, but I'm pretty sure he won't be playing again if he does that. I mean, Naby's faced, adversity before. He's, he's had rougher times. Just by conceding the goal in a derby, yeah, it's not great. But he's had some terrible times here and throughout his career, and it's just another hurdle that he has to overcome, just like any other player. It's just disappointing it's come in a game against Millwall. But I think he'll be fine. He's got 2 weeks off now. He's going over to Senegal, isn't he, I think? Has that been announced yet, by the way?
Yeah, it has.
So, yeah, he's just have to just make himself a better player. I mean, when Bo's come in, he said that Naby needed to sort of develop his physical side because of the stature he is. He wasn't as aggressive as what he needed to be. And I think that showed again on Saturday. So he just needs to make himself better and make sure it don't happen again, really.
Lee Bowyer said he felt that Charlton should have won the game. He would have been disappointed with a draw. Just when I look back at the chances created, sure, we had more of the ball. Like I say, a 59-41 possession for us, according to the BBC Sport website. And you think of clear-cut chances? I was having this conversation in the tunnel with someone yesterday, and they were saying, I felt we had the better of the clear-cut chances. But overall, did we? Did we really? We had the Cullen one that hit the bar. We had the Bond one that was well saved. And then we had the Prattley one in the second half. And, of course, the goal. But then you look, I mean, Pierce had already cleared a shot off the goal line pretty much before we were 1-0 down. Bodvarsson had one that went across the face of goal. There was a long shot from Romeo still in the first half that went across, or that Dean Phillips got across well to save. And then even in the second period, like I say, we had that one that from Thompson that that Diels had to make a save from. So it's not like it was one-way traffic in terms of chances. So I do think there is, you know, Steve Brown as well said he didn't agree with Bowyer that Charlton were perhaps good enough for the win yesterday on Radio London.
Well, I don't think I agree with him. I think I agree with him pre-game that we deserve or not deserve to win the game. I think we had enough to win the game and probably should go into a game like that expecting to win. As I said on Thursday's show, if it wasn't Millwall, but it was a team in exactly the same position with the same players on the same run of form, you would back us. But it is Millwall, and that seems to be the difference. But no, based on the 90 minutes yesterday, I don't think we were good enough to win the game. I think a draw probably would have been fair. I don't think necessarily they did enough to win the game either. But no, I don't think we were that good. And I wonder, I'd be surprised if he said that to his players. I'm sure, as we all said, I'm sure he gave them a pretty hard grilling after the final whistle. And I'm sure he'll be working them hard as soon as he gets them back into training after the international break as well. And I'm sure he'll have picked out the individuals that he thinks are at fault. I think we've all spoken about who that might be. And I know he doesn't call them out publicly, which I think is probably the right call because there's no point. Everyone knows who it is. But behind the scenes, hopefully he'll have made his feelings very clear because that will have hurt him yesterday. For sure. And I mean, it's going to hurt any manager to lose a game and to lose a game of that magnitude. But as someone who's been there as a player for Charlton and won, as someone who knows just how big this rivalry is, that would have really hurt him yesterday because we know how much he loves to win a game. And as you said, when that goal went in at the end, you could see how angry he was because it was more than avoidable.
Yeah. I mean, to talk about the way we set up yesterday, because we did have a tweet in from Bob Liscombe earlier saying, you know, do we think that Naby can operate as part of a back three? I don't think that's in question because I think he's done it before and he's done it okay. But, you know, going in a back three, probably the formation we expected, was it? Or were you surprised by that?
I probably thought this formation would be the same, but I expected Prats to go in there.
In part of the back three.
Yeah, and then because what you can do with Prats in there is then if you need to change it, and you want to go to a back four, you can, and then you push Prattley up in the hole as a DM, which you're flexible to do that. With the three we had there yesterday, you ain't really going to shove Naby out into DM or anything, do you know what I mean? Because it's quite structured. But it was what I was expecting. I don't think Lecco should have started just simply because we had something else to change the game, but it was no surprise to me that he did come in, that Bowyer picked him, because I think the only way you're going to get around me is pace, because they're just lanky, aren't they, at the back? So yeah, I think that was the formation I expected. I don't think it was anything if we set up incorrectly. I just think we just didn't. We just wasn't switched on. We weren't awake from the first whistle.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. There was a few positives yesterday for sure, and I thought Adam Matthews looked all right going forward at times in the game. For you know, someone was there. It must be his second start for us. I think he looked okay. What did you make of him, Adam Matthews?
I thought he was all right, but then he...
Other than the throw.
I was going to say, and then he did that. And again, like you said earlier, and like we said on Thursday, that sort of stuff just doesn't happen unless it's Charlton v Millwall. When was the last time we gave away a foul throw like that? It's just mad. But yeah, I thought on the whole he did okay. When he got the ball in advanced positions, he looked quite dangerous. But again, when he got his ball in, there just wasn't enough people in the box to get on the end of it, unfortunately. But yeah, certainly in a game where we've lost to our bitterest rivals and you're trying to pick faults with players, I don't think he would be high on my list. I thought he had an okay game, and he's someone that hopefully will see a little bit more game time now if he can stay fit and we can start to rotate him and Solly on the midweek games and the weekend. So, yeah, I think he comes with an okay reputation. I think he'll be a decent player for us. So.
Yeah, well, let's have a look at some of the tweets that came in yesterday and last night. I saw after... Quite a few came in during like yesterday afternoon, but they're more chatting to Nave. So I'm gonna sort of pick up from when London Inn at Geezer tweeted 2:30 a.m. Said I'm home at last. I mean, how long did they keep you in there? or did he get nicked or something? But it says hopefully Charlton Live give those excuses for footballers wearing the red and white shirt stick. They deserve. Never thought I'd accuse a Charlton team under Bowyer of not trying today, but they didn't. Any Charlton fan who clapped them off, shame on you. I mean, did you feel there was a lack of effort? I mean, I don't think that's what something I would put on them, Nathan. I mean,
I don't think anyone can any game this season, to be fair, is lack of desire or lack of effort. But I mean, obviously, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's probably quite raw still.
Especially if you're getting in at 2:30
in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, it's for me, no, I don't think it was desire. I just think it was just a lack of bravery. And lack of bravery doesn't, for me, isn't the same as the same desire or effort or anything. It's just mentality-wise, we were weaker and then we were already chasing the game then. So, but yeah, no, not for me. I wouldn't say lack of desire.
You know, Dan Farmer says, do we have to look back at the game against Millwall? Can't we just talk about Wembley again? I was tempted to do that. Mark Griffiths says, dust settled 4 points off the playoffs, 9 from relegation zone into the last international break of 2019. We would all take that. We are disappointed, as we have seen, and know that we can match teams in this division. We've had a bad few weeks with injuries to key players as well. Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be the frustration after what's happened yesterday. Obviously, we want to look at the bigger picture, and we are still in a reasonably healthy position in the table. I don't think we can forget that we have only won 2 in the last 10 now. Like I say, up until 2 games ago, it wasn't the end of the world, because there were some big teams in there, and we tended to play really pretty well in most of those games. And I think you look at that Preston game where perhaps it just tailed off a bit and we got outdone, and then look at yesterday where we played okay in spells, but we showed a bit of a weakness at a set pieces, which we hadn't seen for a couple of weeks as well. So we do need to, you know, temper the fact that we lost a game against Millwall and we're all fuming and we're all disappointed with the fact that we're still doing okay overall in the league. But we do need to remember that, you know, results will start to catch up with us if we don't start turning the good performances we've seen in the last few weeks into wins. And I mean, Lee Bailey will know that. He won't need reminding of that at all.
Yeah, and I think he's very level-headed. Keeps his feet on the ground, knows exactly where his team
are. Like Naby.
And what he expects of them and what he expects of himself. I think it's a funny old season, really, because I was looking in the programme the other day where they have the list of the performances and where we were in the league, and I think we were second up until about 5 or 6 games into the season. And when you're 5 or 6 games in and you're second in the league and it's your first season back at this level, I understand why people are as disappointed as they are that we've now dropped off a little bit. So that's one point of view. Another point of view is the fact, and again, obviously, I interviewed Boya for Charlton Live last weekend and said to him, you know, journalists have been saying it's only 2 wins in 8. That seems a bit strange to be calling you out on that when performances have actually been very good, and he agreed. But actually, now we've lost that game to Preston and now we've lost this game here, and you think, okay, maybe we are starting to see that turn. But I agree with that tweet in. I think we, or any of us, would have taken this at the start of the season, but the point is that 5 or 6 games in, we were second. And I know we were perhaps wrong to then say, well, therefore we should finish in the top 6, because I don't think necessarily any of us thought that. But I think perhaps we'd expect a little bit better from a side that have shown they can do that in that first 6 games to now be putting in performances like they have, which Preston, we were listless, and I know they went top, and I know they were a different sort of side to the side we were playing, but we weren't good enough against them. I don't think we were good enough again yesterday. I think, I don't know, maybe if those performances were split out more against this the part of the season, maybe we'd react differently. I'm just really not sure. It's a funny old season, but I'd be very interested to see if anyone would have taken us being, I don't know, 5 or 6 places lower and 3 or 4 points less than we are now, but having beaten Millwall yesterday, whether people would prefer that and how people would look at that differently as well. But for me, at the moment, as it stands, I'm just still too raw about yesterday to really think kind of about the bigger picture. And come at Cardiff game, I'll start to think about it again. But for me at the moment, it's all about yesterday and the disappointment from losing to Millwall yesterday.
I'm quite glad there's an international break coming up, actually, just to put some distance now between us and needing to think about Charlton again for a while after yesterday's game, because it is so frustrating. John Agenbar said, this season is and will not be defined on one result. Let's get over it and push onwards and upwards. Spencer's asked if we could cancel tonight's show as well after the defeat at Millwall. James says, 2 mistakes by Saar cost us the game. If it wasn't against them, I wouldn't be bothered, but I'm still annoyed today. Saar shouldn't have played yesterday. If we need to play 3 at the back, it would have been Jason Pearce, Darren Prattley and Tom Lockyer. Why did Prattley get taken off? He was on a yellow, but he was one of our better players. On to Cardiff, where we need a result. I mean, do you think Prattley coming off was a move to go on and try and win the game by bringing on Kyle, who you could argue, I guess, is a slightly more forward-thinking player? Or because Prattley drove forward with the ball quite well a couple of times yesterday, and he just seems to be the glue that sticks everything together and keeps us ticking over in the middle of the park at the moment.
Yeah, I the only reason I can see him coming off was probably that he was booked, or he might have had a slight knock, but it didn't seem like he was hobbling or anything when he come off. Yeah, Kyle's probably a little bit better on the ball, but like you were saying, Pratley was keeping it ticking over. He was fine. But yeah, it did surprise me Pratt's going off, especially with that experience. And yeah, I can't help but think with that last minute corner, someone like Pratley would have been quite useful because he's tall, he can head the ball, and just through his experience of trying to see the game out. So, but it's all hindsight, isn't it? But yeah, I was a bit confused when Pratt's come off, I must admit. But obviously, Bowes knows it more than he might have had a knock for all I know.
Yeah, Mindonka Analysis says there's three constants in life: death, taxes, and defeat at Millwall. And you can't argue with that. Hex says some players are confidence players. It's accepted that Naby Sarr is a confidence player. In my opinion, you can't have a confidence player who's a defender. I mean, that sounds like a fair point. I guess, and if you've got a confidence player who's low on confidence, no matter where they are in the pitch, then it's going to cost you points one way or another. If you've got a striker who's out of confidence, then you're not going to be scoring the goals. If you've got a defender who's out of confidence, you're going to concede goals that perhaps you shouldn't have. So I guess you could argue it happens for any position, but Hex is saying that if it's a confidence player like Nabs, you shouldn't have that as a defender.
I think you could call it either way, because if you've got a confidence player up front, it's the sort of player that when he's low on confidence, he's going to snatch at chances and miss them. And then you go through to midfield, they're going to misplace passes and not want the ball and not show for the ball. Back four, they're liable to mistakes. And goalkeeper, obviously, seen plenty of times in any game, a goalkeeper low on confidence will just make silly mistakes and give goals away. So I don't think it's necessarily the fact that he's a defender. Also think that there are enough players in professional football that are confidence players. And it is a difficult thing to manage, because when they're low on confidence, what do you do to get them back up? But I think what Naby has shown this season is when his confidence is there, what a good player he can be and what an asset to the team he can be. We've seen the way he can get balls forward, the way he can run forward with the ball, and he is a good defender at heart as well in certain games. But as I said at the start of the show, and as we all said Thursday, a game away at the Den is not the game for Naby Sarr. We all knew that. It's just, again, I go back to the fact it's just so strange that he was chosen. And it's very easy sitting here, because he's made two very clear and obvious mistakes, to kind of back that point up. But he just looked shaky in general yesterday. He didn't look like the Naby Sarr that we see when, as I say, he's at his best. And it's difficult. You can't rely on a player like that. He can't be one of your starting two week in, week out necessarily, but he's someone that's great to have around for the squad and great to be able to rotate in at those games where you know he's going to get a lot of time with the ball at his feet. But you put him up against a strong, powerful attacker like someone like Matt Smith, and I would have put money on Matt Smith winning those aerial duels all day long, and that's exactly what happened. So, look, we have to call Naby out for yesterday, because, as I say, it's clear and obvious who was at fault for the goals. But I still think he adds something to this squad. I just, yesterday was not the game for him, and that was the problem.
Yeah, because I saw you see messages about, you know, the other parts of his game yesterday. You know, other times he did put in challenges, he did make these blocks, and that's fine, but that is his job. And when you then go on to make the two glaring errors that cost us the game, I'm afraid you can't consider that a good performance. I think that's what we have to accept. Right, Cliff Scales says that hurt yesterday, losing like that. It was a poor game overall. Their keeper saves from Cullen, Bond and Pratley, they were game-changing, but I'm not making excuses. We were not good enough on the day to win the game. It's just unbelievable how we can never seem to beat them. Right, Stephen Keeley. Says a really annoying result and patchy performance, but at the end of the day we are missing so many important players for the way Boya wants to play. Taylor is essential in holding the ball up, and Williams is our main route to taking players on. He's also brilliant at seeing out a game and winning fouls. With either of them yesterday, we would have drawn the game easily. With both of them, we would have won. Add to that Sam Field, who is needed to give Pratley a rest, and both the fullbacks that you would want to play in the back five. It is frankly amazing that we have done as well as we have over the past month. We are well away from trouble, and we'll hopefully start to get some players back after the break. Despite the result, I would still be far more worried to be a Millwall fan this morning, because at home they were no better than a severely weakened Charlton team on Saturday. The future is looking very rosy. We just need to get there. That's a great message there from Stephen Kylie as well. I just need to add as well, actually. So you talk about the fullbacks, or the left back in particular, that perhaps you would love to see in a 3-5-2, which is Lewis Page. We were talking about him on Thursday getting some 23 minutes against Millwall on the Monday. Then Thursday evening he got injured, and I found out yesterday it is a hamstring injury. So that's a few weeks, isn't it? So Pagey once again is now a few weeks away from fitness, and it's so frustrating because you feel so sorry for him, but he must be made of glass, that boy. I feel so bad for him because he would be so good in that in that wing back position going forward. He's arguably the best crosser of the ball we have at the club, and I hope Pagey gets better soon. All right, Sausage Dog says, for once, Boya messed it up, but he is entitled to make mistakes. I feel the injuries we get season after season can't just be bad luck. We have to think our coaches and conditioning coaches, are they good enough down here? We've got Hemed, you've got Chucks and EK, Forster Kasky. What on earth is going on with them and with Page as well? That's from Rick, or Sausage Dog as he calls himself. Daniel Trafin says, I watched the game at 2 a.m. Over here. He said, at least I was there in 1996, the coldest game I've ever been to. So at least you've enjoyed a win at the Den, Daniel. Most of us haven't, well, especially I haven't. And people my age haven't, unfortunately. Right, Lewis Stubbs. For me, we showed no guts or desire to win that game yesterday. We played the better football, but in derbies, especially Millwall away, you need heart and to be able to defend set pieces better. And we didn't do that. So for me, we got what we deserve, Nath. I mean, that's a sort of recurring theme now that sort of started coming up.
Yeah, is it saying that we deserved? I wouldn't say, in terms of balance of play, I wouldn't say we deserved it, but yeah, no, Lewis is right in terms of being sloppy and not defending set pieces properly. Then yeah, that's what I said right at the beginning. If you can't defend set pieces, they're one of the most basic elements of football. I mean, it's all great doing your passing and moving and all the different passages of play, but if you can't defend a cross, then you're going to struggle and you won't win games. And that was evident yesterday. And it's just annoying because we all knew. So at half time we was all talking about it, going, oh, we knew this was a good. The first five, well, before they scored, when they were putting the pressure on, you could see where it was going. And it was like, oh, no, not again. And then we had that little bit. It's the hope that kills you, isn't it? But, yeah, I agree with him. If you can't defend set pieces, then you're going to be in trouble, especially against people like Millwall.
Rob Raghorn says, right, perspective time. Would I swap the Premier League years and all our great times battles, and even the bad times that make us stronger just to beat Millwall? No. We got it wrong again. Put pressure on ourselves when it's just Millwall. Let's stop it and stop overthinking. Yeah, I mean, something we mentioned, or you mentioned, Tom, on Thursday about Bailey naming the team. He said in his, in his press conference that he treated it a little differently. He was naming his team first. So I did ask Brownie about that yesterday because obviously he's been a player. And he said it's not unheard of for things to be done differently for different games. And he says it wouldn't necessarily be just because it was Millwall, but honestly, in this case, it was that he tried something different. I mean, do you think that could really had any effect on the way we started? Because we did start very badly. But I mean, if a footballer can't handle being told a day early or 2 days early that you're going to play football on Saturday, then you must be in the wrong industry. Surely it can't have affected things that much.
I don't know. I don't think there's enough evidence there for me to say, yes, it definitely did. I come back to what I said on Thursday, was I don't get why you do anything differently just because it's Millwall. And you're right, like Steve Brown saying there, that, you know, it happens at other times. Well, the fact is that Boya hasn't, as far as we're aware, Boya has never done it before. And then Millwall comes around and suddenly he's naming his team on a different day. So I just don't get why you would do anything differently. And that was what confused me a little bit and worried me a little bit. As fans, you're going to treat this game differently. As players and as coaching staff, you don't want them to. You want them to just treat it like another game. And maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you should treat this game slightly differently and they should go into it with a different mentality. I don't know. I'm not a professional footballer. But for me, it was just a little bit weird because immediately, as soon as you start doing things differently, you add little variables into it that don't need to be. And the classic example people talk about is the penalty shootout, when you start to stutter your run up or try and give the keeper the eyes. Well, you've got a chance to just have a shot at goal. Why are you adding additional variables in that might make it harder for you? Exactly the same with things like this. Why are you doing anything different to what you do on a normal build up to a game? Because it just, professional footballers, they have a very routine based life, and to suddenly mess with that routine, for me, maybe just makes them feel a little bit different, not necessarily more nervous or less nervous or more cagey, but just different. And if it's different, then it it's going to play out that way, and that seemed to be what happened. But I don't know. There's definitely not enough evidence just based on the performance and the fact we lost to say it's definitely just because of that. But why add it in? Why do it any differently? And that was the question I was asking Thursday, and that's again what I come back to today.
Well, Jim Dutton thinks that Bowyer fell for it in terms of treating the game differently. He said ordinarily he would have made more attacking substitutions, although in his defence, Anike and Hemed were unavailable. Osuma was on the bench, and in the event of a Millwall corner, you just leave him on the halfway line. But that's what Jim says. He thought he saw something different. Reese says, I don't get all this we didn't deserve to lose rubbish that I keep hearing. We didn't have a shot after our goal. It looked like only one team was going to score, and that was them. It felt like a matter of when their winner was going to come, not if. John Stern says it was a load of rubbish as well. Mike, so now you've got Mendonca's right foot feeling that, you know, saying that Mike Tyson's watching a different game to him. You know, just because we didn't win doesn't mean they didn't try. But Mike's insistent that he saw very little passion and guts out there. Dave says it was just rubbish. There's nothing else you can say about the game. James says it's not just our record against them. It's a number of times we've conceded late goals leading to defeat or a draw against them. Since my first Millwall Charlton derby I attended in 1988, I've seen them score in the last 5 minutes on six different occasions. It's absolutely embarrassing. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, there was even a game, I think, at the New Den where we were 2-0 up with like 5 minutes left and ended up drawing 2-2 as well. It's just bizarre.
That's a mentality issue, that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm convinced there's something getting ahead. You know, you talk about England with penalty shootouts in World Cup competitions. You know, that we're up until Colombia last summer, I think we lost 3 out of 4 in World Cups, and then in the Euros was just as bad as well. So overall, we'd lost something like 9 penalty shootouts in a row, and it's something must be a mental challenge there. We just need to sort ourselves out. Lyle Taylor for PM says, can we just pretend it never happened and just talk about KSI beating Logan Paul in boxing?
What's that?
It's the two YouTubers who are boxing each other. See, I am very much down with the kids now.
I've seen that on Twitter. I thought it was just two boxers. I didn't know they were YouTubers.
No, they're not real boxers. They're YouTubers, but everyone loves them because one of them used to sit there playing FIFA and it was really funny, apparently. Mm. But yeah, there we go. Dave also says boo and then adds, we go again. Yeah. Seb reckons it's got to the point where it's got to be a psychological hurdle that we need to overcome, which I think it probably is, right? Chicken Fried Kentucky says we get some interesting names on this show, don't we? What was worse is that we didn't deserve to lose. I wouldn't say we deserved to win either, but had circumstances been different and we didn't have the injuries we do, it could have been a completely different story. So come April, I think we definitely can get the 3 points. London Iggy's is not happy. He said we bottle it every time against Millwall, which is probably true. Adam Hutchins says, let's gloss it up. They are an established championship side who spent vast amounts more than us this summer and nicked a win against the injury-ridden Reds. I mean, yeah, but you could argue they've established themselves in the championship the last couple of years. You can't say they've spent too much more than us. I think their budget will still be in the bottom five. Obviously, we're in the bottom one by the sounds of it. Damian Waters says that Charlton were bottle jobs, unfortunately, yesterday. Martin says, I can't fault the players yesterday, their efforts at all. Fair play to Millwall. Their intensity in the first 20 minutes was very good and took us a while to get going. When we did, I felt we were the better team. Millwall hardly created a chance of note. With a little bit of luck with Cullen's shot and maybe Bond finishing his chance, we could have gone in 2-1 up and good value for it. I think if Bowyer was a little braver with his subs, we could have gone on and won it. The game was crying out for Osuma, in my opinion, in place of one of the centre-backs to go for a 4-3-3. Instead, he tries to close the game out for a draw. That challenged by Smith on Saar anywhere else on the field, and the referee gives it as a foul for me. He completely bottled it. I mean, Tom's shaking his head there before I get to the rest of Martin's message. I mean, for me, Naby just didn't jump.
I called it. Well, the minute it happened, I appealed for it because you're in the away end and you're just going to try and do anything to... You don't want to believe it's happening.
You got to try anything. You should have run on a hilly clear.
Yeah, I would have jumped at least. But it wasn't. It just wasn't. I wanted it to be.
But you said himself it weren't a foul, not in the press conference.
No, he just, like everybody said, Smith just wanted it more and Naby didn't jump for a reason that only Naby can tell us. Or maybe he can't even tell us.
Yeah, but then Martin says, for sure, Bo says he wanted it more, but it's a foul for me. I think their keeper got man of the match as well, so that tells its own story. On to our Twitter fan base. Some of the garbage I've seen said totally beggars belief. Yeah, sorry about that. I just get trigger happy after a game sometimes. And seeing the players called gutless, amongst other things. I'm not subscribing to that at all. That's from Martin. Cheers for that, Martin. Some interesting points in there. Right, Cliff says it's just a mystery that at the end of the day, it's just another football match. Maybe it's the pressure on us to win. The reason, you know, our record against Millwall, this game, all the players get told how important this match is, and our poor record in this fixture, maybe it affects them. I know it shouldn't, but something does. I can't, mate. Do you think it gets in the head the way we spend all week? If you bump into a player and I'll make sure you go and do them Saturday. You
know, I don't know. It's hard because it's easy to say, like I've said it, like it's a mentality issue and blah blah blah. But then if you try and look at it on the other side of the fence, is once they come out of that tunnel and that whistle goes, they're just playing a game of football. You won't be thinking about the magnitude of a game unless maybe when the goal goes in or something like that. But in terms of, as soon as you cross the line, you're just focusing on winning a game of football. And that's, I reckon that's what players will say. But I don't know. Only players will be able to tell you if the performance affected them because of the hype and us putting maybe do we as fans and the media, does it put too much pressure on them? I don't know. But in my opinion, as a footballer, they're the games you want to play in. You don't really want to be play. You don't become a footballer to play Oldham away, do you? You know what I mean? It's like you want to be a footballer to play in these big games at Wembley, these big games at Millwall. And if you don't, then maybe you should go take up croquet or something.
I don't know. Do they not have derbies in croquet? Like if it's Bromley croquet,
Bromley Town versus Albion. Oh, yeah, that's tasty. That's a
big
that
game, yeah. Especially with those sticks, you start hitting each other. Right, ill advised says Millwall are a poor team. Would have won comfortably if a fit Taylor played. Kaya was a terrible substitute. Felt we lost control when he came on. Sar is a massive liability. And then adds it was a complete joke trying to get out of the ground. I will ask you about that situation after the game as well. But Tom says a poor performance all round. Only Phillips and Cullen looked up for it. I think Boya got the team wrong, and that's 2 weeks running that Naby has looked very uncomfortable in a back three. He needs time on the bench, and we need to go back to the 4-4-2 diamond. Charlton XL says, received the following text from my Millwall supporting cousin today. Have you seen the football results from yesterday? Says you can't read out my answer. Yeah, I'm sure anyone who's got Millwall relatives, namely Nathan, has received all sorts of messages from them. Just leave, just ignore them. Can you put yourself up for adoption at this
age?
Yeah,
I had, within minutes or seconds of full-time whistle, I had my dad ring me with doing the old weird, they have one song they have.
One syllable. Yeah,
that one.
One syllable.
That before the game.
We've done it on loudspeaker. My little niece was like, she before the game, she hoped that I was crying after the game because she's Millwall as well. So yeah, it's been a fun day. But at least I go in tomorrow and then I'll speak to some Tottenham fans. That'll be all right.
Yeah, talk about VAR for a bit. They'll love that. Tom says, Boyer has done a brilliant job. My only criticism this season is in games like Millwall, Preston and Bristol City, we have sat back and played for a point, which has led to us losing each game. If we're more forward-thinking, we could win these close games rather than lose them. Danny says, I just watched the Liverpool v Man City and seeing Joe Gomez reminded me that we sold him for $3.5 million and bought Sarr for $1.8 million in the same transfer window. Yeah, well, we won't talk about that. Sebo's saying, about Millwall being a psychological hurdle, and says the first win will be the most difficult one. Once you get that, maybe a second one won't be so hard. And then says, in 2019, after this weekend, us Charlton fans have probably had our best last-minute winner in May and one of our worst last-minute losses. As Jimmy Greaves used to say, it's a funny old game. Right, we're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we've still got your messages as we come towards the end of the show.
Referee blows. Taylor slowly walks. Still now into the penalty area. Lyle Taylor up against the goalkeeper. Taylor steps up. Strikes. Yes! And scores. Calm as you like from Lyle Taylor. And Charlton have that second that they've been dying to get.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. Yeah, don't forget, it's international break next week, so we are having a week off. There'll be no big match preview on Thursday. There'll be no Charlton Live on Sunday either, so you'll have to just listen to some old episodes if you're going to miss us and miss our pearls of wisdom.
I've got a game of croquet next weekend.
Yeah,
I'm sorted.
Yeah. I'm going to a game next weekend. I'm crossing the picket line, it turns out, and going to Macclesfield versus Mansfield, because I'm in Macclesfield next Saturday afternoon.
I just thought randomly you were driving. I was like, that's even worse than us getting a megabus to Newcastle. Yeah.
No, I'm in Macclesfield next week for a relative's birthday, but we've got a couple of hours to kill. And then I thought, I'll go to Macclesfield versus Mansfield. And I was watching the FA Cup today, and it turns out all their fans are currently boycotting, so I'm going to cross the picket line.
Well, now
they're going to shout scab at me as I go
the
in.
The only one there.
Buy my Macclesfield mug and get out of there.
Well, they lost 4-0 to Kingstonian, didn't they? And their players were on strike as well, didn't
they?
You might get a game.
I might do.
Get Nabby.
I'm going to jump. I'm going to prove my worth. Right. We've got a couple of emails in as well to the studio at charltonlive.co.uk. Robert Chilvers says, I've just given up on reading the posts on the forum. The negativity is just too much. It sounded like Nathan. Nathan, you said yesterday on Thursday that you're not going to look at social media after the game if we lose. You're on there in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know, because I actually surprisingly felt all right. Once I spoke to my old man, I thought, it can't get any worse. So I thought I'd go on there and then I'll come off it for a little bit and then went back on it again. I don't know why, because I just had to, I don't know, it was winding me up that I just had to say something. Because
you wound me up more than anything else.
Oh, really? Sorry, babe.
Yours on the way back.
Right, so Robert continues, in the cold light of day, our objective is to stay in this division and we should not lose sight of this. Obviously the results yesterday was disappointing, but overall we deserved a point. There's not a lot that Boyer can do if players don't do their jobs properly other than make changes, but what are his options at the moment? It's painfully obvious how much we miss Taylor and Williams, but once again, what are Boyer's options without them and Sam Field as well? The Championship is a tough and cruel league with the majority of games decided by the finest of margins. Our expectations were raised by the fine start to the season. Those expectations were unrealistic and are proving so. Yeah, one thing to take from today is I think every game that we've lost so far this season has been by one goal other than the Wigan game, Tom. So, you know, we're not getting completely rolled over, which, again, we need to remember was the fear at the start of the season we were going to get rolled over 4-0 every game because, you know, we didn't have a squad. So I guess, you know, again, putting things into perspective, you know, we haven't been completely whitewashed in any games yet, and we have battled and we have, you know, try and take that positive from what's happened and, you know, try and forget, you know, what happened yesterday.
Yeah, on balance, where we are now from where I thought we'd be and from August, I'd have bitten your hand off to be where we are. I'm not ready to put yesterday into perspective yet, but on the whole, this season has been a very, very, very good one and has exceeded expectations. And at some point, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, I'll remember that again and accept that. At the moment, yesterday is still too raw. But if we were to finish where we are in the table now, then that's an absolutely amazing season, because if we finish 20th and stay up, then that's a good season, because we have to remember what was expected of us. We have to remember our wages, our transfer budget, all of that. You know, we've got the lowest budget in the whole league, and yes, that's not everything, and yes, we've got some very talented loan players in, but I think we all expected to struggle this year, and we've shown we can compete with everyone. I think for me, that's what I'm finding more frustrating, is the fact that we've gone toe-to-toe with Leeds and beaten them. We've gone toe-to-toe with Swansea and narrowly lost. We got a draw at West Brom. We've played some of the teams up there and we've got good results. So then why are we losing to people like Wigan and Birmingham and Millwall, who are just not good sides at all? And we shouldn't be losing those. And that's what I'm finding difficult, because for some reason our form just doesn't quite translate into those games. And if it could, we'd still be in the top six. And that's the problem.
We need to remember, there's only a fortnight ago that we went up to the Hawthorns and put in that performance that we did, where, you know, I came out slightly disappointed with only a 2-2 draw. Obviously,
we've shown we can do it.
Yeah. Bert Palmer says, Boyer and his squad are stealing credit with me. And I'm sure if Bert did one of his infamous surveys on the Charlton Life Forum, most people would agree.
It's a good way to put it. We're in credit, I think.
Yeah, it's certainly right. Sarah Saunders said, I'm gutted we lost, but I'd feel worse if it was Crystal Palace. Well, yeah, our record, it turns out our overall record against Palace isn't much better than our one against Millwall. It's just I was sort of treated to, when I was growing up, we tended to beat Palace. And like I said, I've literally never seen us beat Millwall. So.
I've never seen us beat either.
No. Oh, really?
No.
You're rubbish, you are.
Yeah, better stop coming.
Fortune.
Oh, well, no.
Wow.
I'm not lying.
Yeah.
I just looked
at you in disgust.
Sorry,
it turns out it's my fault.
Sorry.
It makes a change, doesn't it? Samuel Days says, Naby Sarr dilemma. Unfortunately, two set pieces from Sarr defending cost us the game. Even though Sarr was clearly fouled, I agree with Boya that Sarr wanted... that Sarr got want more than the player, the Millwall player, either. I'm going to have to tidy up the sentence to make it make sense. I think he's saying that Sarr didn't want it as much as the Millwall player to either block the run or clear the ball. Let's not forget he is 6'5". Do you think time for Boya to move Sarr on, or do you think Boya got it wrong playing him in a strong Millwall side? Samuel Day says, PS, been enjoying the podcast even when losing to Millwall. Yeah, cheers, Sam. Well, I mean, Naby's contract is going to come up at the end of the season. I guess we haven't really start talking about players' contracts or anything like that when it comes to the end of the year. But I mean, do you think he'll get a new one? He definitely won't get one on the wages he would have been on originally. Mm. So in terms of that, it might not even be up to Boya's decision about moving him on. He may just move, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him have some time out of the team after that.
It wouldn't surprise me if he has a couple of games out, because... You know, his performance wasn't good enough yesterday, and he'll probably admit that himself. It wouldn't surprise me at all. In terms of him moving on, if Bowes wants him here, and Bowes is still here in the summer, because I don't know if he's his contract up in the summer as well, Bowes.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly. So they might not even have a manager, let alone Naby. But if Bowyer does want him, yeah, he'd have to take a pay cut. But then Bowyer's got a way up. Could he spend that wages on someone more suited to the championship, who could play, like, you get another Piercy or a Lockie? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it all depends, really. But I like Naby, and I hope he'll just brush this off and improve, because I think there's a decent player in there.
Yeah, right. Phil says, hi guys, unfortunately I didn't get to the game yesterday, but it was a predictable result. I just can't fathom why Boya put Sarr in the team today. I just think the championship is too much for him, unfortunately. Our form of late has been poor, and we are badly missing Taylor and Williams. With Duchatelet's January sales on the horizon, we're in for a long and hard winter. Phil also adds, hi guys, a second message from me, which is unusual. Boya and some of the players are coming under a lot of stick, both on social media and the forums on Saturday night. It seems that Lee sees things differently than many of the fans who are at the game. I do believe he's got things wrong in the last couple of games, but injuries and a lack of investment is the root cause of our problems. Fans should not forget that. And we do, you know, when you go to a football game, no one's sat there with a profit and loss account saying, right, how much have they spent on it? Well, one or two people do it, but, you know, how much have they spent on this? How much do we spend on that? Who's not here? Who is? What's going on behind the scenes? You know, when it's a game of football, it's 90 minutes on the green grass of Millwall. You know, you're not thinking about these things that affect performances and the morale of the club off the pitch, but you do need to take that into account. I think that's the point that Phil's making there.
Yeah, I think we've said that enough times this year. We all admit that Boya's working miracles, and if we had just an average manager with the resources he's got, I think we'd probably still be in League One, if we're being totally honest. But maybe we're being a bit greedy, but what we've come to expect from a Boya side is that they do surprise us, and obviously we all had the dream end to last season. I don't think any of us could have wanted anything more than that last minute winner at Wembley. And then, as I said earlier, we started this season the way that we did, got ourselves into the top six, and okay, that was way above all our expectations, but that's suddenly where you set yourself and you go, right, we've shown we can do this now, how long can that last? And as I said, you then go to the likes of Leeds and West Brom and you get results against these sides. And as I say, this team have shown they can do it, irrespective of investment, irrespective of who the owner is. Last 2 years, he's gone and hidden away and left Boya to it. And whether for right or wrong, he hasn't given him any money, but he's let him do what he's good at, Boya. And that's getting a side together and proving that they don't give up. And at the moment, that seems to be enough to keep us in the championship, which, you know, is, as I say, the all we can really ask for. But he's also shown that they can go a little bit further than that. And of course, he'd want some investment. And yes, Roland is still to blame ultimately for any failure we have, in my opinion, because that's what it comes back to. But at the moment, we're on, you'd have to say, despite yesterday and despite where we are in the league or whatever people want to say negatively, we are on a wave of success at the moment. But all of that's down to Boya. So, I mean, Roland is still that guy that just hangs around in the back and is still our owner. And until that changes, I think any as I say, any negative thing does lie with him. But what Boya's managed to do, I think he's set that expectation level by being so good. And maybe that's a hindrance for him now, because we're sitting, where are we, mid-table in the Championship. You, as I said earlier, you bite your hand off for that at the start of the season, but the expectations Boya's set now, you think, well, maybe we could push on a little bit more. So,
John Richard Baker says, last week, Pierce gives away a needless penalty. Point is dropped. Pierce is still a hero. Saar makes mistakes this week. Point is dropped. Saar is slaughtered. Are we overreacting? I mean, you're clearly seeing the two players getting two different receptions. And obviously, it doesn't help that one player did it against Preston and one player did it against Millwall. One player made two mistakes. One player made one mistake. One player is perhaps one who's had a checkered past at the club, although clearly, you know, he's come out of it the other side, but then gone on to make this mistake again. And one player is Jason Pierce, who has made a couple of mistakes over the course of his career, but was never, you know, Roland's top boy. He came in and started off, you know, massively in debt to the fans just because of who he was.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's a couple of points. Obviously, Naby, there was two goals he gave away yesterday, and Pierce, he was only one. But for me, it's not because it's Naby, and, you know, if it was Piercy, it'd probably be the same. But the difference is that it was the frustration that we sort of knew that Naby probably shouldn't have played. It probably wasn't the right game for Naby. And that's why I was frustrated. Not because it was Naby Saar. It was the fact that I didn't think he was going to be mentally strong enough to play, judging by previous games at Wembley. So that was why I didn't think he should play. And it's just that happened. So, I mean, even if it was Lockie would have got stick. 100%. It's not like whoever gave away that last minute goal, whoever's at fault was going to get it in, you know, unfairly by some directly on Twitter, which I noticed.
No, don't out players on Twitter. No, it's so pointless. Such a waste of everyone's time doing that.
Yeah,
it doesn't achieve anything positive. Sure, I mean, everyone's more than entitled to have their say. And if you want to add the player, who are you helping? Absolutely pointless. Absolutely pointless. Right. We got an email. I've saved this one for last, actually, because I want to talk about something really positive that's come out of it as well. But Sammy Ibrahim, who I spoke to before the game, outside the ground yesterday, I went out and bumped into him because he was part of the Together for 10 walk, which we'll talk about shortly. But he says, sent an email, said it was nice to meet me before the game. Likewise, Sammy, good to. Put a face to a Twitter name. It says, we were unlucky that the save off the crossbar didn't go in off the keeper, and he made a few really good saves. The team battled, but we need to start taking our chances. We've lost Williams, so we need that attacking link to the striker to start next game, and that player is Oztuma. The marking from set pieces needs addressing as soon as possible. Simply not good enough, considering we played a team that score a lot of goals from set pieces. Bradshaw comes off for Smith, and Naby was not strong enough when marking him. And then Sammy adds a massive shout out to everyone who donated to the Together for 10 appeal yesterday, and for all my fellow walkers who did the 10-mile walk yesterday. My feet are in pieces, but well worth it. Yeah, Sammy and like I say, his fellow walkers. We heard him on Thursday. I spoke to Craig, who was organising it from a Charlton point of view. They walked all the way to the New Den from Sidcup, 10 miles, raised a lot of money, £2,726.85. For For Jimmy, which is the sort of a Millwall related charity of a Millwall fan called Jimmy Mizzen, who sadly passed away, and for the Charlton Athletic Community Trust as well, after, of course, Rob Knox, a Charlton fan, was also murdered due to street crime. And I thought we should end on something that's positive like that, because, you know, we saw Jimmy Mizzen's father came onto the pitch yesterday. Gave a short speech, but I thought it was a really good one, sort of thanking, you know, two great London clubs, Millwall and Charlton, who come together to work against, try and do stuff to help improve the situation with knife crime and stuff. So I thought that was, you know, well done to everyone who did that walk yesterday, and to everyone who donated as well.
Yeah, I bumped into Sammy in the stand before. I didn't know he was actually doing it until obviously I see him on Twitter. In his red, which someone spilt a load of beer. I hope that comes out, Sammy. Anyway, but yeah, no,
it was
a great.
Spilt a load of beer.
No, it weren't me. It weren't me. But yeah, no, it was a nice thing to do, and I, you know, they raised a bit of money for it, so it raises the awareness. But I didn't hear the speech because I was down in the concourse. But yeah, it seemed like it went through really well, and hopefully it just emphasises the fact of knife crime, which is obviously getting out of control.
So there was one final thing I wanted to ask you about then, because I was in the lucky situation whereby, well, lucky to an extent, whereby I didn't have to get caught up in that situation after the game. So I was seeing a few people disappointed with needing to be kept behind. Tom, you were there. Nathan, first of all, how did you get out?
So basically, as soon as they scored, I went down and I bumped into a mate who's a steward there. I said, how long are we getting kept in for? He said, while. I said, let me out. So he's taking me, take me through the gates, into the Millwall stand and out for an exit through Millwall. So I was one with Millwall fans.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, with his own people.
I got to London Bridge and all I heard was, the gate has been breached or something like that. So I have some film I was cracking up.
Tom,
but,
you were stuck out there, Tom, then? So it sounds like it was raining. You were stuck for over an hour. The gate was at one point breached and there was police horses there and people falling over, and it sounds like the salt that gets rubbed into the wound every season when we go to Millwall is that you get kept behind, you get caged in like an animal. That must have been pretty grim.
It was like them made another wound and then rubbed salt in that as well. I stayed in the ground for a little bit, and then must have been about 5:30. The bloke kept popping up on the tannoy saying, we haven't forgotten about you, but there's
much if they had forgotten about
yeah.
us.
Lights go out. Yeah. But what was he saying? He said something like, but unfortunately there's still incidents going on or events going on outside or whatever, anyway. And then about 5:40, I went down into the concourse, and then the gates were still closed at that time or had been reclosed. And then it must have been about 5:50. They eventually opened them up, and then you go out to where the little walkway starts, and then they blocked you off there. And that was when it was raining. So we were there for about 5 minutes. Then eventually let out and walked all the way down to South Bermondsey, and there they'd blocked off the Millwall entrance to South Bermondsey station because there were still Millwall fans just waiting around, basically, and I think that was part of the problem. And eventually got onto the platform, and then there was a train. But yeah, it was a good 15-20 minutes in the rain, but as you said, it's just the crap end to a crap day, really.
Yeah, excellent. Well, that could be a crap end to a crap podcast as well. We have run out of time on this evening's Charlton Live. It's been a bloody miserable show. I hope listening all this way has helped cheer you up in some way just by getting it off your chest. So thanks to all of you who sent in messages into this evening's show. Don't forget, we won't be back here on Thursday or next Sunday because it is the international break. We'll be back on Thursday week to look ahead to the Cardiff game, which is the first game as we return from international duty. So I look forward to speaking to you all then. Tom and Nathan, thanks for coming in this evening. Sorry it was not in happier circumstances.
Cheers. Yeah, shout out to the Elton boys from yesterday where they smashed the chandelier. Well, they weren't the Elton boys, but the chandelier was smashed in a pub. But yeah, it was good fun yesterday. I'll see you at Borough because I'm away now.
Nathan's going on holiday. So yeah, good luck. Later. Enjoy.
Hope
enjoy.
Come back.
Excellent stuff. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. Thank you for listening to the end of this this evening's Charlton Live. We shall see you when we return from the international break.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.